resolution.
Jeremy, follow me. I praise you for yet another day. Praise you for the health that enables us to come to this meeting. We thank you for the purpose of this meeting, Lord, to give folks an opportunity to voice their concerns, share their ideas, share their wishes. We just pray, Lord, that this commissioner's court would listen, that we would utilize this time as it was meant to be. We ask for your blessing on this meeting. We thank you for your presence. We turn this meeting over to you and ask that your will be done and not ours. We just ask your blessings on this county. We thank you for our new loop. We pray that you will use it for the strengthening of the economy and the betterment of every person that lives in this county. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everyone. Today is the 17th of September, 2014, and just a couple of minutes after 9 o'clock. This is a special meeting of the commissioner's court for the purpose of a public hearing as well as another business matter that we want to take care of today. So we have first of two tax rate hearings for this year. I'm going to start off with item number one. We went ahead and put on a public comment section. If there's anybody here who would like to address anything other than what we have on the agenda, now is your opportunity. Anybody like to speak during the public time? If not, we'll move on to the item number two, which is our main item of business today. That is to discuss and welcome public comment on our proposed 2014 tax rate, which we proposed at our last meeting at a rate of 43.96 cents per $100 of valuation. At this time, I'm going to open up the floor to our public speaker. Those that have asked to speak, I'm just going to order that I've got here. Jerry Moody from Omaha, Texas. Jerry, welcome. If you could step up to the podium and just tap on that mic, make sure we've got that turned on.
Omaha, Texas, but I do live in Titus County. I'm in that little segment out there that's kind of in no man's land. This is my first time at this commissioner's court, so I feel pretty passionate about the proposed tax increase. I served on the Moody County Board of Directors, Electric Co-op Board of Directors, served on it for 13 years, so I do have a little bit of insight about the political environment that is surrounding electric utilities, even more specifically the generation of power. A couple of years ago, like if I'm not mistaken, we had a little bit of an increase on our taxes because of the Lumen devaluation. We're proposing another increase on that because of some more devaluation of that plant. The paper kind of stole a little bit of my thunder if you read Sunday's paper, but maybe I can reiterate some points that were made in there and maybe add a few more points to that. The proposed EPA regulation is currently on the books that is not in effect yet. Is wanting to reduce carbon emissions in the United States. Specifically, the state of Texas by 2020 has got to reduce carbon emissions by 42%. With that being said, what's going to happen is this coal-fired plant is going to shut out. And there's no way that we can reduce carbon emissions by 42% in the state of Texas if these coal plants don't shut out. So my point being is we need to be prepared for this plan out here in our future. I think it's coming. I mean, especially if that EPA regulation passes and it goes into effect, we're not going to have that plan out here. So instead of raising our taxes on this, we need to be cutting the budget. Because I really think it's unfair that the citizens and taxpayers of Titus County have to pick up the tax bill for Lumen for not being here, or the devaluation and the possibility of them not being here. Surely, if that tax is not here, we can't expect all the citizens of Titus County to pick up their tax bill. I mean, I just think that's completely unfair. The other point is that I'm also a poultry grower and I'm also a cattle. My income as a poultry producer over the last 5 years has been cut about one-third, about 33% because of the stuff that Pilgrim's got and shut in the Dallas plant, et cetera. A substantial amount, whether you like the poultry industry or not, a substantial amount of taxes are paid by poultry growers. We already have poultry growers who are in serious financial trouble. On the verge of bankruptcy, they're going out of business. And this is going to add another burden to poultry growers that they can't really afford. And if we start shutting poultry farms down, then we're going to have less taxable assets out there for the county to draw from, and it's just going to be a snowball effect. So I'm asking to have, for this court to consider not raising our taxes due to the devaluation of the power, because I think it's just something that we're just going to have to deal with. And this needs to be a bonus step. I think this needs to be something that we need to look at and say, okay, we need to be prepared for this. So I'm asking the court not to raise our taxes and put another very burden on the rest of the citizens of Dallas County.
What that ultimate valuation would be, you know, at the direction of the appraisal district, who helped us derive those rates, that's how we're having to show that, even though the anticipated collection will not be that much. So I'm sorry that it's not a real clear reflection of the way that we would like for it to be presented, but we didn't have any choice in doing that. And it is somewhat misleading.
That number is based on the 450 million appraisal, whatever it was.
Right.
That we appraised it to account.
Yes.
So you're saying if it comes out at 350 or whatever, that number goes down.
Well, when we had planned this, we were working under the assumption of a $232 million valuation from Luminant. We have hopes as of last night. Apparently, they've got an agreement. We haven't been given the final terms, and I don't think that has been signed yet. I don't know what the impact will be at this point to our proposed tax rate if we do indeed have a settlement. Maybe Carl can enlighten us a little bit on that. I think he's had a conversation with Geraldine, but I'm asking either way whether we want to have a few days, maybe some more time with Geraldine to discuss what we can do to that tax rate if indeed we don't have to make the assumption that we're only going to collect on $232 million.
Well, do you have a plan B, so with lower expenditure going?
Do we have a plan B if what, if there's no settlement?
If you end up with a lower valuation with Luminant, you must have another way where you're going to.
Let me make sure I understand what your question is. Again, the assumption here was that they would render based on $232 million. That is our plan A. That's the only plan that we've had, and because we haven't been made aware of anything in the way of settlement with Luminant. They had two meetings where they rejected any kind of settlement. I understand late last night that they did. Apparently they reached an agreement, but we haven't been told.
Okay, to be clear, this $869,000 for additional taxes, which valuation of Luminant is that based on?
That's based on the assumption that they will only render at $232 million.
So if they come in high, you still set the tax rate higher, so you raise.
Well, we are hoping that we can adjust the tax rate lower if we can make the assumption that they will render at $350.
Would you have to do that between now and the year?
We can do that. Well, I'm hoping that we can make some recalculations on having to interject this into our discussion at our next tax rate hearing. We certainly want to. We don't want to raise the tax rate any more than we absolutely have to.
So, this thing, $14.5 million of expenditure you showed me, is that real number or is that something you've been rejected?
I don't know. Let me see the show.
Okay, I'll let you know. Let me get you on the microphone, because this is kind of important, and it's ironic that they had that meeting last night. I wish I could,
right.
Have had time to make some adjustments.
That includes,
I think I said that in the new stuff.
Yeah, maybe this over here.
No.
$600,000 of this $9 million, that's in general account. $400,000 that is for the fire truck. That's not coming out of the current year taxes. That's coming out of reserves that we have as a fund balance.
Right.
Also, the $300,000 or $225,000 to do the election office is out of fund balance, but it's included in these expenditures. Right. That's the reason that fund balance goes down from 5.6 to 4.5.
Yeah, that's right.
So, there's $700,000 of that money that comes out of that.
Okay.
I don't know what the rest
of
the
time. Well, that would probably be useful to know the substantial projects that are included in the numbers.
And I don't know what number you're comparing it to. Okay. Well, I need to look at last year's sheet and see what's different. That should be the only item that we didn't increase any expenditures anywhere in the budget. So.
Other than no specific project.
Between now and the next meeting, we can put together.
Yeah. I'll pull the report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. All right, Judy Kent.
I'm here all the time. do the same thing. It just seems unimaginable to me that you guys are elected to protect our money and to spend our money, but you don't think about us at all. All you do is raise our taxes. And I hear you say, because of the uncertainty of Lumen. I went to these budget meetings. Never, ever, ever was it asked for those departments, how can you cut your budget? Never, ever, ever do y'all mention in here, we need to cut the budget so we don't have to raise the taxes. We don't want to raise the taxes any more than we have to, is what you just said. But it never, ever comes to the point of where are we going to cut? It's always, well, we don't want to have to raise too much, or we hate to have to raise more than this. It's always raising the taxes. Every taxing entity that we've got here is raising our taxes. And y'all are looking at the Luminant disappearance as money that's going out of your coffers. You're not looking at the Luminant disappearance as what it's going to do to this county and what it's going to do to the taxpayers and our livelihood. Y'all are all living off the government tip. You've got 120 employees that y'all worry about. We're having all these discussions about benefits and retirement and insurance, but you're not thinking about the taxpayer out there and what we're going through. And it's this way every single year. And every year our tax base gets a little bit worse. And every year I think you guys are going to wake up and do something for the taxpayer. And every year I go through these budget meetings with y'all, and you don't even mention it to your departments. You don't even talk about a plan B or what we can cut or what we can do to keep from having to raise the taxes. Y'all are busy redoing the courthouse, buying buildings, doing things to spend our money, but you're not doing anything to cut the money that you're expecting from the taxpayers. And I'm just saying it again and hope that somebody out here is going to listen.
That's all that I have that is signed up. Is there anyone else who would like to speak about further to the opportunity to talk over here? All right. Commissioner, I'll start down here on the right. Real,
I've been coming to these meetings 3 years. We say that we are doing a good job as commissioners, but we raised I think that we confuse that effective rate. We can collect, means we collect the same amount of money, no matter what the value goes down, as our, just as I have to do. But there is, as Judy said, we could cut expenses. And there are expenses there where we're the highest, we're economically disadvantaged county. According to the TxDOT people, or the people that on the search deal, that's $32,000 for a family of four. We have to live on it. But everybody in town, like we had to deal on the retirement, we got a 250 match. Well, only a handful of counties in the state that had that money. So then we were questioned about cutting that 250 match to a $2 match. It was turned down because except by me, and then you said, well, it's okay because it's not going to be 11.5%, 11 points up in 2015, it's only going to be 11.18. Then they say 10.58 or whatever it is, almost 11% again in 2016. That's what they project. But we're talking about 2020. That would reduce our makeup now. Understand. We're only required about 8% to fund our retirement plan. All this other percentage is going to make up. But you said, well, we're not going up, so I think we'll leave it 2.5. About $93,000 is what it costs of our budget. I guess that's right. We have about $4.5 million payroll. If you take, I think it would come down about $93,000. And this auto allowance, we always talk about it, and like I said, the budget's never changed. Auto allowance, this is ridiculous. It's nothing but extra payroll, and we'll spend it, or at least the court's funded this as an auto allowance. The people need to know that money is, we take Medicare and Social Security for that money, so that they don't have to report it. that to the IRS, the people receiving that money. And every time we go out of town, official does, except one time I seen it where I already get a car, and I've done it over there. If you are a commissioner or any elected official going out of town, they put down whatever the IRS allows, 56 cents a mile. That's in addition to this, I don't know why we call it, that's $133,000 a year we pay out of the pot amount. And I'm like I said, the county attorney gets it. The county attorney gets that, he gets a full payroll, he goes to all the council 4 months, he all gets a full payroll. We're so generous, and we're so concerned about the county employees, and I said, and I love the county employee. And I don't think the county employees are overpaid, I think the elected officials are overpaid, because we don't publish, we publish payroll, we don't put $15,006 the commissioner gets, $15,006 that a lot of other people get $15,006, that seems to be the magic number. The JP's get $7,200, the judge gets $6,000, I'm over in Travis, but he still gets 56 cents a mile. I mean, this district is all over the place, we can do it. We got jobs to do, we got the secretary, I brought all these up before, down to DPS. Of course they don't want to have to replace her and pay for it, they cut their budget. But we don't cut our budget, we just go ahead and keep her down there. She was put down there for a good reason a few years ago, they didn't have computers. And we get a percentage of tickets made from the overweight scale that the county does. So we need somebody to look after our interests, so they put her down there. Now you get a ticket, that computer can get within a few hours, and they write a ticket out for the split goes on the revenue. It's foolish for us to have a county employee down there. But all of these things, and there's about six county employees that we don't really need. And but for some reason, we don't want to do it. We don't want to make the cuts. I mean, in business, if you have a business, if you run a business, if you got a down in revenue, you just tell people we got to have a cut, 5% cut in spending. And so you manage to make a 5% cut in spending, and that's how you run something. But not here. We use that effective tax rate, we can just do it. And I don't understand. And I've been here 3 years, we've collected the same amount of money, we've increased our taxes by about 24%. This year, if we go with that raise off the road, that'll be another cent, we'll be at 30 cents, or a third of a dollar, we've added on to the poor taxpayer of this county. But our employees, out of those 3 years, we've given raises 2 years to our county employees. Everybody else suffering, being laid off, because the man said about the coal industry. The coal miners aren't working, not as many of them, it's all going down. You know, the economy's picking up, they say. But I hope and I hope the loop makes us get some new businesses in here. But until then, I don't think it's fair at all the way that it's been done in the past. I think we need to do our best to cut it down, to leave the rate alone, and do the things that we need to do. Then if it's necessary, we have to have public protection and fire, we have to have a sheriff department stuff. We have to have certain things that we can't do without. But there's a lot of other things that we can do without. And I plead with you, please, try to cut the budget. I mean, I'll do anything, you know, to try to cut it. And I just wish that the elected officials would do the same thing. And I feel like a lot of them will. They told me they would in private, that they would try to cut it. They would cut their budgets. But we don't ask. I don't think it should be a question. You know, we're getting next amount of less money, we should cut our budget that much. Then there's exceptions. We can't do it. They can come to the court again and say, I can't do it because of this. And I'm sure there's some good reasons they can't make a 5 or 10% cut. And so we should be open to listen to those reasons. But I think it's just wrong, absolutely. I think it's a sin to do what we've done in the last 4 years that I've been around here watching this. That's all I have to say.
The only thing I would ask that I would like to see what agreement they came up with before I say anything. We'll have another meeting later on, but I would like to see that by the price of the picture.
hard enough when we have meetings during their working hours to come up here twice a month. We've got one during their working hours and one at night bar. But it's almost like we're having a meeting every week, and the taxpayers are out there trying to make money to pay the taxes that y'all are giving them. But you have all these special call meetings. There's no way they can keep up with them and be here to let y'all know how they feel. And it's just like if you waited till our regular meeting, we'd know more about what's going on at Lumen. But it seems like we've got a special meeting every week. I don't understand.
And I don't want to be up here anymore than we have to, but unfortunately, we're bound by some timeframes that we're given by the appraisal district. It's just part of the law in order to get the meetings done, in order to have an appropriate amount of time, have it posted at the appropriate time. You know, this is not our first choice. Our next hearing will be next Monday night, right just prior to our normal commissioners' court meeting. That'll be our second rate hearing.
Oh, that'll be your budget hearing. Your second tax hearing will be next
Thursday. A week from today will be our second tax rate hearing. We'll have a budget hearing, which will be much the same kind of discussion, just at the beginning of the commissioners' court.
And both of the next two meetings will be at 9 to allow people that maybe couldn't be here today.
But on our budget hearing will be at 6 p.m.
Right, it's at 9. And the Thursday.
Oh, you said at 9. You said at 9. 9 at night. Yes, at 9.
And the Thursday meeting will be at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock at night as well. Okay. As far as other meetings, I don't know which ones you're referring to, where we were doing interviews or where we were talking about, you know, having workshops for insurance. You know, where we can, we're going to always take care of business on the normal two business meetings we have, but sometimes we just can't get it all in there. All right. We're going to move on now to item number 3, and that is to consider the possibly approved recommendations for a variety of insurance items, property, casualty. I did want to note a correction that Derek in our clerk's office had brought to my attention in our last meeting in September. We had item number 17 to set possibly approved the proposal of the 2015 tax rate. It's the 2014 tax rate. This does get confusing. We are in 2014 and we are discussing a 2014 tax rate, not in 2015, which will be a year from now. So I did want to clarify that. I hope that nobody was confused about that. Item number 3, again, back on property and casualty insurance. I have provided you commissioners with kind of a summary, and I can bring out all the detail that you want. As you'll recall, we had decided this year not to utilize an insurance consultant to help us make these decisions. And we chose a group which included myself and Carl and Christy and Commissioner Riddle to go over these insurance proposals. We had two major proposals, CAPS Insurance and the Texas Association of Counties. We had Buford and Insurance did not give us proposal on anything other than what they are currently covering, and that is the cyber liability. And they have sent us a renewal on that, so I do have a price on that. What I have tried to do, and I don't know if this will be sufficient for you, if you want some more time to study the breakdowns and the backup documentation for all of this, I'll be glad to give it to you. But the bottom line is we have two very, very competitive proposals here, and I'm going to let these two fellows that are here speak very briefly. Todd, if you'll kind of explain to us the uniqueness of Texas Association of Counties risk pool and how that compares with typical insurance. If you can take a couple minutes and explain that to us at the podium and anything else that you would want to say. At this time, Texas Association of Counties does provide our work comp insurance, but they also provide a wide variety of coverage in several other areas, and they're always good competitive contributors to our decision here. So, again, if you'll kind of explain to the commissioners what the risk pool is.
Certainly. Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners. Todd Kiesel here with Texas Association of Counties. Truly appreciate your time today. Currently, we handle y'all's workers' compensation program.
Yeah, it's right there.
Sorry about that. Currently, we handle your workers' compensation program. And it's our pleasure to do so. We've been doing that for a number of years. We have responded to your request for proposal with all our lines of coverage. We are a pool. We are not insurance, but we respond just like insurance does. The difference being that insurance is regulated by the Texas Department of Insurance. We're regulated by our board of directors and our bylaws. We are proposing the lines of coverage that we have proposed, and I'm sure the judge has the summary of coverage for you there. Along with our coverage, basically comes with our service. Things that we will be doing for y'all that we feel that need to be updated within the county is we'll be doing a property appraisal program attached to your property program. As far as your law enforcement coverage, we've got some taxing training that will be conducted by our law enforcement consultant working directly with the law enforcement department there. Besides myself, we have HR consultants that will assist with any and all HR questions and concerns, and our safety consultant working with y'all on workers' compensation, also on your general liability to help protect the county in regards to that. Basically, we appreciate the opportunity to respond to your request for proposal. We're hoping to be able to provide the proper coverage to you and the proper services that come along with that. Thank you,
Todd. I'll give you a moment to take care of any opening statements that you might have. I don't know what I don't have any detailed questions for you at this time.
Well, as you all know, we've been right up there for the last 3 years, over the last 12 off and on, for the majority of that time. We certainly hope that we've done a good job right there. I don't know how our numbers stack up this year against Texas Association of Counties. Had nothing negative to say about the Texas Association of Counties. They've been around a long time. We do offer most of the same services as far as loss control and recommendations as it relates to law enforcement activities and all those things. The coverage that we have quoted didn't line up exactly with your bid specifications. What we did was basically quoted what the renewal was, which was the recommendation from your previous consultant. So there were a few things that were in your bid specifications that there was some difference on. Mostly our coverage was more than what you were asking for in your bid specification. I think Brian and Carl and Alvin did a good job trying to distinguish between those things. Sorry to trust your judgment on that. The other thing I'd just like to say is as far as our shop goes, we're right here. I think we've done a good job. I don't know that there's been any issue that has been a concern. Certainly, I think I would know about that if that was the case. So the other thing is that they're a rather significant taxpayer in this county. I know you have to make decisions based on, maybe not looking exactly at that. You've got to deal with right from the county, and we respect that. We will respect whatever decision that you make. We employ 40 people in this county, and not all of them are property taxpayers. All of us have been running this community, so I just ask you to consider that too. Maybe we're the best deal. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I want you to consider that too. I hope when you make a decision. So, but no matter what happens, we'll continue to do whatever we can on behalf of the county in every way, and I respect whatever you did in each way.
Thank you.
Any questions?
All right, guys, if you'll take a look here at the summary that I provided, Whereas when you look at carrier related to tax, it's all coming out of the tax risk pool. They don't do business with other big insurance companies. They have a self-insurance, their own word, it's kind of similar to the self-insurance, but it's all a pool. Monies are collected from the counties that do business, insurance business through TAC, and that pool is the source of payment of claims. Let's begin with general liability there. If you'll notice, you know, one difference on there is the general liability caps quoted 1 million. What's the proper terminology? Per occurrence and aggregate, is that the right word? Now, I do need to note that even though there appears to be a difference there on the limits of $1 million, $2 million, looks higher on the caps side, that extra, that additional coverage is coming from that excess liability policy, which is on the line below, correct? Is that right?
Yeah,
I'm just stating that.
With the excess, you have 2 million per occurrence.
I need to hear that again.
Okay, so we
within the absence of the excess liability,
so we got
it's 1 million, 2 million.
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. And I assumed that wrong.
Yeah. Right.
So forget about what I just told you. The excess liability there, we'll get up to it in a minute, I'll speak on that in just a second. But if you're looking at those general liability quotes there, you see there's a little bit of additional premium that's asked for by TAC, and you'll note that there's a little bit more cover, not a little bit, another $1 million in the aggregate that is offered by CAPS as compared to $1 million, $1 million, $2 million. We move on down to the excess liability. Texas Association of Counties does not offer an excess liability. They can and have quoted us larger limits on the base general liability policy. So the excess liability is something that CAPS has quoted. You can choose to take advantage of that. That's something that is optional. That does offer additional coverage over and above the basic limits of which policies, Steve?
Okay. As a general liability, public officials, professional liability coverage, and law enforcement liability coverage, and reformal practices liability coverage.
Okay. So there are several lines where we have in the past chosen to go with an excess liability policy or an umbrella policy. And in the event, if, correct me if I'm wrong, in the event that you were to have a large claim in one area that ate up that $1 million of excess, it wouldn't be available for another claim in another area. Once that excess is used up, it's gone.
You have a million primary coverage on your general liability policy. Million excess. So if you said that if you have a claim that's $1.5 million, $1 million is going to go to general liability and $500,000 is going to go to excess policy. Okay, but that excess policy, you're right, is a $1 million limit. Okay, once it's used up, you have to go ahead and get capital.
You have a claim, after a large claim, you could buy some more of this.
That's correct. You have to go back after limits are expensive.
In our bottom summary, I have reduced the overall total quote by that excess liability in an effort to try to get the comparisons, you know, more apples than apples. Moving on to the automobile liability, comparable limits, comparable deductible. And here, Texas Association of Counties has the edge there, 17,000 versus 20,000 or 21,000. We move down to auto physical damage. Here's where CAPS makes up quite a bit of ground. $1,000 deductible on comprehensive, $1,000 deductible on collision. You can see there the CAPS, and that's not an error. That was very comparable to the amount of premium that we are paying this year. So $16,000 for Texas Association of Counties, $4,800 for CAPS. Move on down to property coverage, deductible $10,000, total values that we are using, and these are values that we, the county, provided. We may have made a couple of changes in what we provided for CAPS versus TAC, but we're talking about total value coverage of, you know, roughly $29 million each. their tax has come to an edge, $9,000 edge on that property is closed. Moving down to the scheduled equipment, or, Steve, this is what you all refer to as inland marine, and maybe you can use the same thing. This is going to be for equipment that, mobile equipment such as our big, county road equipment, what else might be included in something like that?
It's really what you're thinking, Chief, to put on here. You do not include all of your equipment on there. That won't have a big one. So you, I have that scheduled, but you have chosen.
We provided you with that.
That's correct.
And with TAC, that's included in the property, coverage with caps, that is an additional, policy provided by Travelers to give you that coverage on your mobile equipment or your, separately specified equipment. All right, next page, we move to, liability coverage here, the purpose of public officials. You'll note the differences in the limits. We've asked TAC, to quote, a $2 million per occurrence, $2 million aggregate, whereas caps is quoted a $1 million per occurrence with a $4 million aggregate. That's as close as I can get you on the, you know, as far as a comparison. TAC was able to provide, some additional coverage there. I will note that TAC initially came out with some coverages that were slightly, quite a bit less, in some cases $100,000 per occurrence, $300,000 aggregate, and it is tactfully, not correct if I'm wrong, that those limits were, those lower limits were adequate due to, what's the right word that I'm looking for, tort law that would limit the exposure of the county.
Yes, I mean, governmental liability applies to general liability and automobile liability as well.
Can we hand them up, a microphone, or are you going to have to sign?
On your general liability and your automobile liability, we have quoted, the Texas tort limits. And basically, it's been our experience, based upon those laws that were created in 1969, the majority of the counties in Texas that we handle have those limits. And basically, the law protects the counties for bodily injury and property damage liability to those limits that are shown. That's one reason why we don't offer an umbrella, because basically the law is protecting the county, so that they can do business. It removes the loss of provisions there.
Steve, any comments on that as to why, we have found ourselves purchasing coverage in excess of those 4 minutes? And again, those are recommendations that came from Mr. President.
That's right. Well, certainly you are covered in the tort liability limits by the state of Texas. What happens, and our carriers understand that and know that too, okay? But there could be an occasion where you operate outside of the state of Texas. If your sheriff's department's going around to Louisiana, they've got prisoners or home or someplace, and it falls outside of that. And TAC may have provision for that, you can operate outside, but, you know, the tort coverage is for bodily injury property damage. And your general liability policy, covers things, other things, just bodily injury property damage. Personal injury claims, their life is claimed, their claims, those kind of things that might fall outside of those tort limits. But the gist of it is, okay, commercial carriers understand about the tort liability limits. So basically, they price your policy to be competitive with those limits to where they have to be in their liability. Okay? So what we're offering is not terribly different than what TAC is doing, but we're showing our policy of legal limit, and they're giving you a legal limit only if you operate outside the protection of the tort laws. Okay? You have to be outside of state of Texas. So, I mean, it all boils down to, you know, is it worth a few $1,000 to do a collection of evidence that maybe, you know, and, from the perspective of your consultant, again, we kind of have that perspective too. You know, what that order will hold, is a few $1,000 or whatever it takes. Most of
there wasn't a whole lot to say about reducing that $2 million coverage down to those 4 limits. But here I'm giving you the closest comparison that I can give to.
If the $2 million were a public question of law, we got to do that as possible. We're not going to primary, so we have add the excess policy on top of that. We'll do that, you can do that, you can do some of your public practice, a lot of other coverage.
And I'll get that out here and just make that over here.
Yes, sir.
Probably you can see there under budget conditions, those differences in the carrier, keeping in place some of those policies. Moving down to employee practices liability, this here, this cut compare these, this pack includes those in other coverage, whereas we've got this separate policy with caps, $1 million, $4 million, and again, if you choose to go with that excess liability, that does give you additional coverage on per occurrence, an additional $1 million, if you felt like you needed that additional coverage. Moving on down to law enforcement, here again, $2 million, $2 million on cap for tax, $1 million, $4 million for caps. To bring that up to the comparable $2 million per occurrence, we need to have the excess liability. There the edge goes to tax by about $4,500-$4,300. Crime policy, these last few are relatively small in the whole. In the big picture, crime coverage, comparable limits, comparable deductible, comparable ratings. Cyber liability. At this time, it's not offer a cyber liability. I believe that's in the works, and they should be offering that in the near future. At this time, they do not. CAPS did get us a quote from Aspen America through Think Risk, I guess was the name of the insurance company. This is not a policy that is currently provided by CAPS. It is provided by Buford Insurance, and while CAPS quote here is at $38.99, you'll see there at the very bottom of the page, the Buford quote to renew this year is at $1,950. I'll want to take a look at that. I believe that it's comparable with $10,000 deductible, $1 million limit. Lastly, fiduciary liability, here being covered in other areas. Todd, what policy is that covered under your fiduciary liability? Which one is that covered under the S?
We're not offering the fiduciary.
Okay, not offering the fiduciary. Okay. And again, explain that to me, because that's the one I keep forgetting. What is fiduciary liability for Steve or Todd?
This is the one that we were struggling to understand why you have your coverage. Basically, if you think it's coming under your health care plan, where you can have, I believe, it's a $50,000 stopgap. But I was not able to even find any documentation on that in your records as to why you have fiduciary liability. Basically, it's essentially a way of bonding and financial protection. I think that currently you're paying about $2,300 for that. So I was able to discover the framework as to why you should have it.
Steve, in your opinion, what is fiduciary liability coverage giving us?
It's covering your the administration of your retirement plan as part of it, your health insurance, your parts of self-funded under your health insurance. So it basically is protecting the annual dealings that you have in both your retirement plan and your self-funded plan.
If we as the administrator were to make an error there, for example. Now, I believe we found out that we are providing this coverage through the retirement system. Did we find that out that perhaps it's covered?
Roxanne said that they have that coverage.
If we're covered for any errors that we might make.
They held that liability insurance. That we're not required to have that from them.
I don't know what a situation would be where we could be held liable for something like that. If we made an error that resulted in a lower benefit to an employee or something like that, and they decided to sue us. All right, if you look at the next line there, you'll see $109,000 compared to $110,000. That's simply taking each of the totals above and adding them all up. caps column there in blue, if we were to remove the cyber liability, which we need to do because we can get it cheaper with the current future quote, we would take out $3,899. If we were to take out that excess liability policy, if we felt like your lower limits of $1 million would be adequate on several of those lines, that's a fairly expensive add-on for an additional $1 million worth of coverage there at $4,500. To try to better compare apples and apples, I pulled that out of there. The next line is work comp discount. TAC offers a rather unique situation here. If you choose to go with TAC as your workers' comp carrier, which we currently use, and I have not put any work comp quotes on here, they were so close, and we don't have any firm quotes for work comp yet. That policy will renew at the end of the year. Both companies have asked that we get closer to the renewal date so that we can see exactly what the claims have been before we get those quotes. We anticipate that they would be very comparable. However, if you give the work comp coverage to TAC, TAC gives you specific discounts. I think it's 2% per line up to a maximum of 10%. Is that right?
That's right.
So you could take a flat 10% off of that $109,000 if you choose to give all lines of business to TAC, including the work comp, which we will visit at the end of the year or closer to January 1 renewal date. And that yields you a bottom line that, like I told you, was very close. And first of all, I want to acknowledge Todd and Steve for taking time out of their busy schedules and personally coming to see us and visiting with me and helping me to understand and providing us with higher limit quotes, lower limit quotes, anything that they asked, that I asked them to do, they took care of it and got me quick responses. I don't think either one of these is a superior or an inferior coverage. There are some differences. So it's a tough call, and I appreciate all the effort here, and I leave this decision for you. Commissioner Riddle and Carl and I met one last time to go over all this after I put together this summary. So I would ask for any comments. So if you call Commissioner Riddle, be the one if you would like to add anything or have any questions about this. Sure.
TAC is including in your, study point again, which ones that they're including, like our, we have separate limits for our employment practices liability, they include that in the public officials. Okay? So you have one million limit for both your, or whatever you're quoting for your public officials, okay? Where we have a separate limit. So we're twice the limits.
Because they're set up policies.
Okay, so you're not comparing apples to apples when you're looking at limits. Okay. I guess it's probably PPLI. It's probably, I guess that's probably more work in time that you're this way. What else is there something else? Anyway.
That's employment practices, public official, fiduciary.
Well, fiduciary is not included, they don't.
Fiduciary is not included, so.
That's right.
I guess that's all.
Could we conceivably do without the fiduciary liability?
You know, I think you're required to have a fiduciary liability because you're self-employed. You have a designated benefit plan and fiduciary liability coverage. So that's, I'm pretty sure that is what's required in order to have yourself on the health plan.
In order to operate with the type of health insurance,
yes.
Self-insured,
yes.
If I let
HIPAA, you let the personal medical information get out or something like that, that's what this four things is designed to cover.
Okay.
All
right, gentlemen, sorry I cut you off there.
The public officials' liability,
general liability doesn't, there's two totally different things?
That's correct.
What's the difference?
Well, the general liability protects the county and the premise of the county. The public official's liability protects the elected officials and the employees of the county. As I was mentioning, we combine our employment practices liability along with our public official's liability, and we're offering $2 million limits there.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Anything else? Carl, any comments?
The only thing, did you make a comment that was it law enforcement or public officials, one of those is required to be $2 million? Was there any one of those, I thought you made a comment when you got here, that when we were talking about the $100,000, $300,000, that on the, one of these liability policies, either public officials or law enforcement, is there a minimum requirement to be?
No, I think I asked Todd for a higher coverage to get it more comparable to the CAPS coverage if you have the excess liability umbrella.
Okay, because still...
Because he initially quoted those at the tort limits.
Well, the Texas tort limits apply to the automobile liability and the general liability only. They do not apply to
the law enforcement
or the public officials.
Yes. So I think when you're looking at the law enforcement liability, TAC has quoted $2 million, Steve has quoted $1 million, but he's saying that his excess will provide you the other $1 million. So I'm not real sure you can really back his excess off if we need $2 million worth of law enforcement liability. I don't know whether we do or not, but.
You have to have the excess.
Is that not right, Steve?
It's $2 million with all the public officials and the law enforcement. We have to have the excess coverage.
Okay. So you would
have excess coverage also gives you $1 million over your liability and your practice liability.
And we currently have what I'm reflecting here.
That's
a $1 million, $4 million with a $1 million umbrella.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, what did you originally quote on the, say, public officials and law enforcement? Was it less than that 2-2?
That's exactly what we quoted. We quoted a $2 million per occurrence.
That was your original quote?
That's correct.
Okay, I didn't ask you to raise that one up. That was the original quote. Go ahead.
Right.
So I think my point is, Judge, that you probably don't need to back off the 3899 excess liability, but you do need to back off the fiduciary liability because TAC does not offer that. Or I guess they don't offer that. I agree with Steve. I think we have that coverage, so it's kind of like the cipher. You're going to have that coverage.
And then when you put that excess liability coverage back on there, then that gives you some additional benefits elsewhere.
Right. I think you have to,
every time you make a little loop.
Right. I think you have to add back to 4587, but you get to subtract the 2362.
Well, that would give you $2 million per occurrence, $4 million excess on your public officials and your law enforcement. Okay. When you get the excess. So with the 100 hours, you could have $2 million losses under your public officials or your law enforcement. Not right on the coverage, but the 2-2. What they have, you're out after two. Chance of that happening might be pretty slim, but nevertheless, there's a difference in coverage there.
Well, the public officials would probably be slim. Law enforcement.
Yeah.
If you shoot, well, if you shoot somebody,
that's your main exposure.
That's right.
Law enforcement.
That's right. Yeah. Somebody gets shot.
We've had several lawsuits attempted in the last few years, but thanks to the good job our guys do document, we have succumbed to anything significant. All right, does anybody like to spend more time on this? We have an October 1 renewal, so we need to act fairly quickly here. We're 2 weeks away from that deadline, can be bound fairly quickly with either company. I think the decision that you have here comes caps us the local connection, so it makes it a tough call.
Could you look at it, and you know, how high it is, and we divide it so, or you won't go, won't come to the other?
That's certainly an option that you have. Just remember, if you're gonna give it all to TAC to get that maximum discount, they would ask for all of these lines there to generate you that budget savings.
Yeah, let me ask you back one thing. If we were to go with y'all can buy all that train, the truck drivers and all the safety stuff, yeah, that's all provided free.
That is correct. That is correct. Our contributions include all the trainings that come along with everything. There's no additional costs for trainings. You're gonna have our HR consultant, our law enforcement consultant, myself, and the rest of the TAC staff to assist you with no additional costs. Including as the property appraisal as well.
Tell me again how that discount is calculated, just to be sure that I've done it. Was it just on certain lines of coverage that discount is offered?
If you move your lines to TAC, it's basically 2% per line of coverage. So on your automobile, you've got 2%. On your public officials, 2%. Law enforcement, 2%. Property, 2%.
If there's none of them, you wouldn't get the 2%. So if we took, in our calculations, we assumed that if we gave it all to you, we would get 2% off of all of them. For a total of 10%.
You get a 10% total, you get a 10% discount off of your workers' compensation contribution. And currently, I believe it's you're paying roughly about $60,000 just for discussion's sake.
Okay, so the discount is applied to workers' comp.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, well, I'm glad. Well, where did I get that 2% per line?
It's because it's 2%. If you look at it, we offer workers' compensation, automobile, general liability, public officials, law enforcement, and then crime. Crime, we exclude because crime is $1,900. But it's basically 2% per line for a total of 10% off your workers' comp.
Okay, so that discount flows over to the workers' comp.
But it's still $10,000, I think.
No. This is where I misunderstood. The maximum amount of discount would be 10% of whatever our work comp premium was.
That's correct.
Which is currently at about $60,000, and I think that's anticipated. Okay. So I've made an error there in giving the discount based on all of these lines added up together. So that $10,900 there at the bottom of your second page, it's got a negative by it. Really, that needs to be about $6,000.
That makes it almost exactly the same.
So that bumps that up from, say, 103, 171. We take caps 101902. We need to add back the 4587 in general liability coverage and deduct the
2362.
2362.
It's going to make those numbers almost exactly the same.
Well, by the way, if our comp number holds, we're 57A.
And theirs was a little bit less than that. I think it's actually 56.
Okay, that's the change. Keep going away.
Plus 4587 minus 2362. you ready to do that? Do you want any of this, do you want to set it along?
That's my favorite.
Got a motion by Commissioner Benton to utilize pet insurance. To clarify, may I assume that you're going to not include the cyber liability that we have?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's gonna be.
Yes, sir.
Got a motion on the floor. I'm going to second that motion and call for a vote. All those in favor of utilizing cat's insurance to provide these lines of coverage with the exception of cyber liability, say aye. Okay.
Should all of them want to build this on, and do it next meeting?
Okay.
That's, and I'm gonna make that motion.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Hockaday that we table this, to give you all more time to look at this. Second, all those in favor of tabling this, say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Okay. Two days. All right, we're gonna table this, we're gonna look at it a little bit closer, I'm gonna point it to the committee.
Oh, you really gonna need to, you really need to, you don't want to put it on the agenda for Monday night and get it voted on?
Number ten?
Now, you think you would.
Remember that our next meeting, which is awful close to the end of the month, the 29th to be exact.
What's Monday night, is it not?
Yeah, I'm talking about putting it on the next meeting, the 22nd, don't we have a meeting on the 22nd?
22nd.
It's the 22nd, that's right, I'm talking about, I'm gonna be soft. We do have a meeting Monday night, which is our budget hearing, we can put it on that Monday night, if you haven't seen it.
I'm gonna clear up next meeting.
Okay. All right. For clarification, what do you all anticipate occurring over these next few days? So if we don't come back and rehash the same thing, what information can I get for you to help this decision, be made?
I just like to go with the experience.
Okay. Is there anything else I can get for you, I'll be glad to show you the more detailed information, and I'll be glad to provide you with some contact info for either of these guys. Bill, this is a tough decision here, as you can see, it's sure a lot easier if we had, you know, 20% differential between the two, but, Todd, as much as I appreciate what you've done, we do have a local guy here that we feel comfortable with, and we've got to give him a little bit of guidance here.
Yes, sir, I understand.
No, I just like to use my respect there, figure it out, want to look over what you've been involved with.
I'll focus in on anything, and I'll dig deeper on anything, absolutely, but I'll be glad to sit down with you and show you some detailed background. There are some things that are just not gonna be perfectly possible about this past, that's just a waste of time. But again, I promise you guys have every advantage you can, because I've got a couple of weeks advantage on y'all, you know, this stuff, and it's still challenging. All right, that brings us to our item number four, closing comments. I just want to say it was a great ribbon cutting yesterday. I got the chance to drive one time down the Loop Road and look forward to being able to drive the northern route. Really exciting to me, and I know that Commissioner Fields was sharing his observations of the lack of 18-wheelers on the road this morning that's going through town. Anyway, thank you, guys, especially Commissioner Fields and Commissioner Hockaday that were recognized yesterday for the many years that you've been working on this and the meetings that you attended and the things that you did in the early days. I'm very grateful we have this project and look forward to the completion of 4,000 here within the next year. Commissioner Fields.
Just
the changes in the tax rate, yes. When it went from 33.9 to 35.03 in the each successive year, that's an increase over that base year of rate at 33.9 back in 2008. Commissioner?
I have no objection.
The only thing I got, if you look at the bill on the list about insulation and the insulation that's out there.
Yes.
And I have.
Well, you were right. Let me give you some further insulation, further information. The job that we did back several months ago was Mark Stansel, who provides the rum and pest elimination services. He did some replacement of insulation in the walls. This current bid is Justin Stansel, Mark's nephew, who is doing work on the exterior of the building to seal the cap and then new insulation above the ceiling tile. So it's not a duplication of work that's previously been done.
Thank you.